I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Young Enough, the Young Professionals Radio Program. I'm your host, Joe Kadich, alongside Chris Thomas. And Chris, what do we got lined up for today?
Joe, we got a great show. We got a phenomenal show. Today, we're going to be talking about business competition, how you can become more competitive in your industry, how you can differentiate yourself from your competitors.
It's important.
And we're going to be getting into topics related to that and how you can gain that edge in your business.
And I'm telling you right now, guys, competition is absolutely everything in business, no matter what the world may say. I will proudly take my seat here on the soapbox and just say, the people who say that, you know, a flower never competes with the flower next to it, it just blooms, they're dead wrong, all right? I mean, it's the same reason we keep sporting events. We keep scoring at sporting events. It's the same reason we have first, second, and third place. If you want to break out from the pack and have an unbelievably successful business, you got to recognize the competition, you got to embrace it, and then you got to crush it.
Wait, slow down. So there are people that don't support competition.
There are a lot of people in this world that don't support
competition. Okay, well, let's talk about this. What's the argument?
The argument is that competition is bad for business, particularly American businesses. And I would say this. Let's just totally going off the track.
Oh, here. I'm open-minded. Okay.
All right, good. So let's talk about off the track. You have American manufacturing versus Chinese manufacturing.
Okay.
I mean, it's back to the art of war, all right? They're cheaper. We make better products. People look at the competition, and they sort of shy away from it. Competition is not something you need to be scared of. If anything, it makes your business a heck of a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of reasons that we're going to get into that makes it better. But, I mean, do you get what I'm saying?
I
love competition.
Well, I think it's necessary to move society forward. These phone companies, why is this new technology constantly being improved, right? Have you seen the graph at the rate that technology is improving and advancing? It's legitimately exponential. And there's definitely an argument to be said that the reason for that is because of competition forces people to innovate, forces people to better solve problems or find new problems to solve or expand their business into different areas, which is bringing value to a customer base in that area. There's so many reasons for competition. It moves society forward.
Right.
It's the building blocks of technological innovation, in my opinion. Because if you're Apple and you don't have a Samsung or an Android competing with you, and you own the entire market share, well, I mean, it's actually economics proves that monopolies aren't good, right?
Very
and
true.
The way to get rid of monopolies is you have to have competition.
Right, you have to have somebody.
It's got to be constantly growing.
Yeah, somebody just to bud their head in there.
I mean,
it also eliminates complacency. If Kodak was still in charge of the market, we would not have digital cameras anymore.
They filed
bankruptcy twice. I'll tell you exactly how the story went. Kodak actually invented the world's first digital camera. And they looked at it and said, nah, that's never going to fly. People like to go and develop their photos.
That sounds a lot like Blockbuster. People enjoy the experience of going with their family to pick out a movie.
Right.
They're like, no, I want to be in my pajamas laying in bed with a bowl of ice cream and picking whatever movie I want and watch 15 minutes of it, then go to the next one.
Exactly. And, every single industry, take a look at even the car industry. If Tesla didn't jump in because they say, okay, GM's too big, Ford's too big, we would be losing our behinds to the oil companies because we'd be paying $6 for gas.
Yeah.
You have to have competition. If anything, it helps the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can dominate the market and kill the competition, then you're one heck of a business owner. We're going to tell you exactly how to do that. I mean, with that said, our first story in Young and Updated is how to outshine your competition. And, guys, it really comes down to these five ways. And these ways, I don't care what industry you're in, they're going to apply to any industry, whether it's B2C, business to consumer, B2B, business to business, even the service industry. The first one, to outshine your competition, is going to be price. I mean, it's no secret here. One-third of Americans say that being able to pay their bills on time is a, quote, luxury. Think about that. So price is very important to the consumer. Being the low-price provider could very well be your unique selling proposition, or USP.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, unique selling proposition, we're going to use it as USP a little later on in the show. Walmart is the picture-perfect example. They put absolutely everything under one roof, where even if you see in the newspaper that their gallon of milk is $2 more than Kroger's, well, you're still going to go to Walmart because your kid needs a bike for his birthday.
Yeah.
And they don't sell bikes at Kroger. All right, second way to outshine your competition is added value. I mean, this is going to fall under your money-back guarantee. It's going to fall under your free shipping that your business may offer. Zappos is the perfect example. They have a 365-day, no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. They have a couple customers that just run in their shoes for a full year and return them, and they don't care. They just say, that's all right.
I love that because it's going to induce more customers to come on, and it's going to induce them to actually buy the pair of shoes rather than, oh, I'll wait. Because, yeah. Oh, well, I have 365 days to return it. What I love about it is they may have those few customers that return it right after every year.
Right.
But the majority of customers, think about it, they buy their shoe 3 months later, like, I totally forgot where I got this shoe. You know,
right. And on top of that, I mean, I think you have a moral responsibility not to pull that card.
Yeah, don't be
like,
that
oh,
guy,
I ran in these shoes for you. I'm going to send it back. Ha ha ha, got them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're a pretty low life individual if you want to pull that every single year. Third way to outshine your competition is convenience. Think about the day and age that we live in. It needs to be seamless. Whether you're shopping online, you click a button, you say, yes, I want to buy that, you should be taken directly to the checkout page.
Mm-hmm.
Not, okay, we're going to hide your shopping cart down here so that you keep looking.
I think I told that story on the show. This is,
yeah.
Let me shed some light on this because I think this is really important, and it's why companies like Uber are successful. People think, I mean, Uber fundamentally didn't really change the actual service, right? Someone's still picking you up in a car and taking you to a location. What Uber sells is time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even, I mean, the illusion of time, because if you're in New York City, it probably takes less time to get a yellow cab than to call an Uber. However, for the most part, for most Americans, Uber sells time and convenience, which is really important because we live in a 24/7 connected world now. It's no longer where you go to work at 9 a.m. and you leave at 5 p.m., then you go home and unwind and things slow down. You know, we're constantly connected. We're constantly on our phones, constantly in communication with each other. And so that 4 seconds means the world to people.
Right.
And so that's all Uber sells. They sell the convenience of I don't have to call the cab company, sit on hold for 15 minutes, talk to someone who I can barely understand their English. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. And then wait 45 minutes for the cab to come and have the person treat me like – you know, just another passenger. At least the Uber driver, you know, gives me mints and things like that. So they sell convenience. They sell you time.
That's because you have bad breath, Chris. Right.
That may or may not be true. A lot of coffee.
I just thought of this. I mean, if I'm out of town, let's say I'm in New York City, and the cab company asks me where I'm at, I have no idea.
True.
That's what Uber does. It's geolocation. They know exactly where you are.
Yeah, that's
and you're like, okay, that's a heck of a lot easier than trying to pronounce street names at 2 a.m. when I'm walking out of the bar.
Especially when it's not your house. Yeah, we're at a bar. And you're just like, I don't know where I'm at. Just come get me. No, that's exactly
right.
What's the next one?
I'll tell you why. This is exactly why I don't shop at Aldi. Sorry, Aldi. But they always have one cashier there and about 30 customers.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention you have to buy the cart, but it's just a process. Then you have to shop around. They don't have everything I need. And then when I leave, there's a backup at the line. It's just it's a hang-up.
Yeah.
I want to go. I self-checkout. Greatest thing to ever happen to grocery stores.
I'll tell you what, man. I noticed this just recently with shopping is usually I would go to the actual clerk where they ring you up for you because that's what I was used to. I haven't used a clerk in forever because, you know, I was probably a little bit scared of the new – self-checkout. Now I love it. I don't have to talk to anyone. Like, isn't that amazing the world we live in where, like, I don't have to talk to anyone. I can just scan my items. The nice little lady out of the computer talks to me. I put my money in. I'm on my way. Right? And it's faster because what's great is, like, it's usually somebody, like, you're not going to have that lady with the cart that's, like, a mountain full. Like, she probably needed two carts. Like, the kind of woman that probably should have brought her, you know, her husband and her cousin to help with her groceries. The kind of woman that goes shopping once every 2 months.
You know, then
you're buying a Kit Kat bar and you're behind her, like.
And, hey, in some states, the husband is their cousin.
I believe that's a little far south from where we're at here.
I think
here.
So, too. You're welcome. All right, fourth way to outshine is all about trust, all right? Nowadays, in this online world, reviews go a long, long way. I mean, so treating all your customers with respect is absolutely key. I had an incident with a restaurant that shall not be named here in Toledo, and I've been friends with the owner for 15 years. He's known me since I was a little kid.
Oh.
I went there and said, "Hey, look, I've been waiting for an hour and a half. I missed the hockey game, and you know my food didn't even come out yet. I'm not going to pay for the food I didn't get. I'm going to go."
Mm-hmm.
And they go, "Okay, well, you know, you still have to pay your bill because you still put the order." And I go, "I didn't eat anything yet." And they go, "No, it's okay. It's okay." They said, here's your bill. Pay this. If you don't like the way we do business, don't come back." Okay. I put it out on Facebook because I was upset. I had 13 other people, true story, look it up, 13 other people that weren't even in the building with me say, "I don't like the way they treat customers. They treated my friend like this." That is detrimental to your business. So, I mean, people, they want to spend their dollars with businesses they trust. I mean, look what happened with Target and Home Depot as well. When they had their credit card breaches, Walmart and Lowe's went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I remember even Lowe's, they advertised heavily on their locks and their gates saying, "You can trust us to be your security source." That's funny.
Wow, that is funny.
That's really funny. Fifth way to outshine, corporate social responsibility. People want to know that you're being ethical in the business world.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it last week with the social entrepreneur. It's important to have your community see that you care about the people. Sometimes it can be about people over the profits. And Chris and I talked about it, like I said, in the long run, it's going to be more beneficial for your business. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, and this applies, what the point I'm about to make applies to the number five and the previous one is, you know, customer service and treating each customer very well. The point I'm going to make is that we live in the information age where transparency exists whether or not you want it to exist, right? Where things leak,
right.
People know how companies operate, they know where they get their resources from, they know who they're doing business with, where they're messing up. I mean, things go viral now. And why, like you just mentioned that example, especially if you're a business owner, you need to keep in mind that one customer does not equal one customer anymore. One customer has the power to remove multiple current customers through word of mouth, Facebook, just Yelp, review websites like that.
Yeah.
And then also block potential customers, because where do you think a lot of potential customers, where they're going to make a purchasing decision? They're going to places like Yelp or Foursquare, where they get reviews on different restaurants or businesses on how the service was, how the product is, pricing, everything. So you have to treat every customer above and beyond, and not look at them like they're that single customer. Same thing applies with the efficacy and integrity about which you go about business. Again, this applied to the social entrepreneurship show we just did. The more that you can incorporate into ethical and good things within your business operations, the better brand value you have. Brand value is going to mean more and more, again, as we are no longer just entities that sell a product and service, but more a piece of people's lives. Our customers now in this day and age are more a part of us than they ever have been before. You don't just go to the local lumber store because it's the local lumber store, right? The Lowe's and Home Depot example, these things apply now. And because of this world, it's becoming more and more competitive because we have options. We have options through the internet. We have options just through being more informed. So it is important to go above and beyond in all these different facets, both in the value that's intrinsic in your product and also the byproducts of your product, right? The customer service,
right?
The simple things that build that overall brand value.
No, exactly. And I think now more than ever, the stuff that we buy makes up our brand more than anything
personal
else.
Personal brand,
right? Exactly. So if you've ever seen the movie 21 Jump Street, this guy, he goes out and gets a brand new Trans Am. You know, he's 30 years old, but he has to go back to high school to play an undercover cop.
Yeah.
So he goes back to high school in this Trans Am. It's awesome. He pulls up. Everybody's in Priuses. And it's like, the point is the car is not all about what you are anymore. It's about what kind of coffee are you drinking?
Yeah.
What kind of clothes are you wearing? Do you have that new iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
So think about that now more than ever as a business. You can reach out to so many more people and have so many more customers, but it's a chain reaction. For example, Dick's Sporting Goods. I wanted to go buy some new golf clubs. So I looked online, Dick's Sporting Goods. The one here in Toledo by the Franklin Park Mall had a 2.8 out of 5 stars. Well, the one at Spring Meadows had 4 out of 5 stars. which one do you think I'm going to go to when I'm going to buy that new set of golf clubs?
Interesting.
Something that, something that I really have, somebody's going to have to work with me on it. Somebody's going to have to fit me for them. That's important. Now, I don't know how one got rated so much higher than the other, but I'll tell you right now, it's a chain reaction because the one by the Franklin Park Mall, if they keep that up, if people look solely on reviews, they're going to be missing thousands of dollars on the P&L, the profit and loss statement. So then next time they're not going to have as much corporate funding to keep employees there. That means somebody's going to lose their job. It's a chain reaction in business, and that's exactly the world we live in.
And look at the positive side, too. We're talking about the negative side if you don't. I mean, you go get – let's say you buy your new golf clubs. You go out with some buddies going golfing, and they're like, hey, I like the new clubs. You're like, hey, you know, yeah, I was at Dick's. The guy that worked with me helped me get fitted.
Right.
Helped me try different clubs out. Awesome guy. You should go see him. Yeah, you know, I've been thinking of getting a driver. You know, see how that leads to positive business results. So there is a profitable, an economic incentive for you as a business owner to go above and beyond because word of mouth is very powerful. It can go either way for you, especially like we mentioned in this day and age. So it's best to have and make sure that reflects on your employees as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make sure, you know, because you could be a great business owner and you could you know, everything we're talking about could be part of your core values. But if you don't have an employee that's on the same page as you, a disgruntled employee can make the whole brand look bad, and that can, again, come back on your business. So
isn't that the truth?
That should be a whole show that we do on is how to treat your employees. We should have Jeff Barefoot on that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Toxic employees, how to eliminate them. Chris brought up a great point. Jeff Barefoot, he was a fantastic guy. He's the founder and president of Resourcement. He gave a tremendous speech at our Young Professionals Night at Third Street Cigar. Guys, if you haven't made your way out to Third Street Cigar, it's the second and fourth Thursday of every single month, completely free of charge. We have really the area's leading business owners, businessmen and women, talking about their experiences when they were our age. And it's just a great event. I mean, like I said, you can check us out on Facebook and see all our postings there. Up next, I've got the 7 steps on how to capitalize on your industry, all that and more. You're listening to Young and Up, the Young Professionals Radio Program, 106.5, The Ticket.
You see and hear all these ads about saving a ton of money. At CR Adrian Dodge and Adrian, you can drive off with a brand new car for less than your cell phone bill. At CR Adrian Dodge, you can get a brand new Chrysler 300S or Dodge Ram for as little as $109 a month. Even a new 4-door Jeep Wrangler for as low as $179 a month. Visit CR Adrian Dodge at 1211 East US 223 Adrian or call Tyler Tanzel at 517-266-5925. That's 517-266-5925.
Building a strong professional network is a key component to a young professional's success, and there is no better place to expand your professional network than at Third Street Cigar. Choose from their selection of hundreds of premium cigars and sit back and enjoy your smoke in their relaxing and spacious music-themed smoking lounge. Learn more at ThirdStreetCigar.com. That's ThirdStreetCigar.com. Or visit them at 20 North 3rd Street in Waterville, Ohio. Third Street Cigar, the Young Professionals Cigar Lounge.
In life, there's a lot to be thankful for. The things that matter most to you are worth keeping safe. Mass Mutual has a history of financial strength and stability with long-term interests of their customers in mind. Mass Mutual in Maumee, a Mass Mutual general agency, can prepare you for what's ahead in your financial future. They understand who's counting on you. To learn more, call 419-893-9759. That's 419-893-9759. Or visit them at 1760 Manley Road in Maumee.
And welcome back to Young Enough, the Young Professionals Radio Program. I'm your host, Joe Katich, alongside Chris Thomas. Now, before we went to the break, I know I teased it. You've been waiting too long. Here we go. Super Joe's 7 steps on how to capitalize on your industry. Number 1, Chris, I'm sure you know it, find your market. That is so important.
I thought you were going to say niche. I'm like, gosh, I think we said that word too
much. Well,
many
no, it's exactly what it is. It's a niche market.
True,
don't say that you want to go after the golfing industry and say, I'm going to be the best golf shop in the world. Rather focus on customer-centered, okay, I want to make the best putters in the world. That's pretty cool. I mean, hey, driving's for show, putting's for dough. Isn't that right? I know you're a big golfer.
I like that.
Two, study your competitors. You have to know your competitors and see what they're doing, find out what they're doing wrong, and fill in the void that they aren't tapping into. I mean, Dollar Shave Club, perfect example. They saw Gillette Mach 3. They saw the Gillette Fusion razors. Said, okay, it's a great razor, but they have too much stuff on them and their price is entirely too high. They just created a lower cost, one of the ways you can outshine your competition, a lower cost version of something that most men and women do every day.
And know what I also like about what they do?
What's that?
Is they also attach that convenience factor into their
True.
It's a product and service. They ship it to you once a month. If there's one product that you forget to get at the grocery store, it's probably razors, right? It's one of those things where your razor gets dull, you know, after a shower or whatnot. Oh, I got to get new razors. But, that's a product that you are likely to forget if you're going to the store. So I love how they ship it once a month. But what's weird, or not weird, but what's interesting now is Gillette did a commercial where they interviewed like five people that were once on these Dollar Shave Club type programs that said they switched back to Gillette and why they switched back. So that's pretty interesting. Reminds me of the old Miller Lite Bud Light competition, which is probably one of the best comebacks in marketing history. Let me just shine some light on this. Back when what was it? It was Miller Lite, and I'm a Miller Lite fan. I choose it over Bud Light, but Miller Lite got spanked on this one. They would do a commercial where, you know, a guy was often like on a picnic with a girl and they were drinking Bud Light. A referee would come out of nowhere, steal the Miller Lite, and then call like a foul. That they were drinking the wrong beer, then replace it with Miller Lite. People loved it, right? It just blew up from there. Then I think it was during some big game, it was like a Monday Night Football, and Bud Light comes back, and essentially their whole commercial was a montage of all these refs stealing these Bud Lights from all these people and getting the Miller Lite. Well, the whole premise of their commercial was that the refs just wanted all the Bud Light to themselves, and they were drinking it themselves. Genius! I loved it.
That's smart.
Now I forget what we were talking about, but
no, but my favorite. Another thing that they really or that Gillette came back with was, hey, look, you know, yes, they may be cheaper, but ours lasts for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a razor in my life that lasted for 5 weeks. I shave once every 4 days. I don't have a manly beard, but that's impressive in and of itself. If you say, okay, I only have to buy 10 razors or 10 blades this year, that's $30.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at Dollar Shave Club. We are way off topic now, but I remember looking at Dollar Shave Club and saying, okay, $9 a month, all right, great. Do I really spend $100 a year on shave products? And I don't think that I do.
And here's an important point to take away, not to get back on topic. Here's an important point to take away is that if you want to get into a certain industry, you don't necessarily have to innovate the product to be competitive. But you can find some area of inconvenience or some problem within receiving that product or anything that is a problem with that service. Again, back to Uber. They didn't fundamentally change anything about the service. Just it was what they changed was the convenience and the way in which you received the service.
Right.
So, and you don't have to be unique universally. You just have to be unique to your specific industry.
Very true.
Right? And when you break things down like that, it becomes a lot easier to find your unique selling proposition.
Your USP.
Your USP. They've been using that since the 1940s, that acronym.
True
story. Write that down.
It's a true story.
Unless you're in a car, don't write it down.
I have that here in my notes. All right. find out what makes you different or better. It's building right off that studying your competitors. Four, capitalize on your USP. That's why I have a marketing genius alongside of me. He already jumped the gun on that. Five, guys, this is the most important one because this is exactly what Chris and I do. Market like an animal. And whatever it takes. There's a great book. I suggest you read it. It's called Guerrilla Marketing. We all know startup businesses. You don't have a whole lot of cash on hand. Guerrilla marketing focuses on seriously the most minimalistic marketing methods, triple M's, nice, that I have ever seen. I mean, it's incredibly impressive. It says, don't go out and buy a $20,000 TV ad if you don't need it. You know, people love that brand awareness, but you have to focus on your market.
Yeah.
And your market isn't, you know, primetime television shows. It's simply not. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. Find out where your target market is. Where do they accumulate? Where do they hang out? What digital platforms are they on? You know what? When we're helping launch this McGee Pick and Cone business,
right.
You know what I figured out? And I love this because it's one of my favorite platforms currently right now to market on was Instagram. I saw, like, people love sharing pictures of their horses. So what's a great – how did we drive traffic or that amount of traffic in the first 2 hours? I just sat there on Instagram. I would post high-quality content, photos that we took with the McGees, and then I would go around liking and following people and commenting on, oh, awesome horse. I don't know jack about horses, right? You should see – I don't know anything about horses, but I just had fun, and I engaged with – the community, which hashtags are like mini communities on digital platforms. I just engaged with people, you know, and authentically, not just like spam. I engaged with people. Hey, great horse. How old is she? I don't know if that's what horse people ask each other, but I certainly
did. You're supposed to ask how many hands tall.
How many hands tall?
That's how they measure them.
Right?
But no, exactly. Build a community, sell them stuff.
Yeah, that's, build an audience and sell them stuff.
But I'll tell you this right now, guys. If you can't market like an animal, you can have the greatest product in the world. You could literally have the next wheel. But if you can't market it, it's completely worthless in the marketplace.
Man.
We're talking to somebody. Chris and I are going to meet them next week. And they own a flooring business. Incredibly highly reviewed. Incredibly high reviewed. And I was asking the woman when I was meeting her at the golf course. And she said... yes, all of our business comes from referrals. I'm like, okay, so what kind of marketing? You know, she goes, we don't have a Facebook page, we don't have a website. And I'm like, okay, so in order to get more business, you need to get more customers so they can go give out more referrals, right? She goes, yeah, I guess. We're talking about a one-man shop that could easily be a 20-man shop if they could just market themselves.
Oh,
guys, it's very, very simple. And I know you business owners out there, if you have a restaurant and it's the greatest thing and every single customer that's ever stepped foot in there said, this is the best place I've ever been, you have something fantastic. You've gotten the hardest part out of the way. Now you got to let the people know what you have.
Here's one of the best dollars you could ever spend as a restaurant owner. If you have someone that compliments your food, ask them, incentivize them, give them a coupon or a gift card for the next time they come in. If they simply leave a review on Yelp or Foursquare, one of those platforms.
Yeah.
All right, so especially – all right, let's go back to this flooring business. They're getting they get most of their business through referrals. Use the hell out of that referral then. Get them to refer you by reviewing – giving you a good review on digital platforms like I just mentioned. Now, guess what? They're your referral machine. They don't even know who they're referring, but guess what? When people are looking to get their floor replaced in this day and age, guess what they're doing?
What are they doing?
Not driving around town writing down all the floor places
right. Or
going to the yellow – gosh, have you seen the – we had a Yellow Pages at the house. We threw it out.
I think we used it to hold open a door one time, but
it doesn't hold up that well anymore. It's so thin now because no one cares. So here's the point, but people are Googling like floor places. They're looking at reviews. Get yourself in the right position.
No kidding.
Right? Use the referrals. Use your good customer service to your advantage by asking people to sing your praises online.
And that's so true. I, for Easter, I went down to Ormond Beach, Florida, about 10 miles north of Daytona Beach. And I'm driving around, and guys, there's something you got to know about me. I hate chain restaurants. I just do, all right? I can't stand them. So I'm driving. Except for B-Dubs. I love B-Dubs. I love B-Dubs. But I'm driving up A1A. It's the largest highway in Florida. And I see a little shopping center, and there's Big Jerry's Subs. And right next to it is a Subway. Well, who do you think I'm going to? I'm going to Big Jerry's, right?
Yeah, I'm going to Big Jerry's.
I walk in. This guy's talking, and you can just tell by his charisma. I'm like, okay, this guy's the owner. You just know it.
Yeah.
And I walk up. He's got the Rolex on. I'm like, hey, you must be Big Jerry. Well, as a matter of fact, I am. I go, hey, I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I love this place. This is great. The food is fantastic. Thank you so much. And he goes, hey, how'd you hear about us? That's the greatest thing that any business – I'm like, yes. And I looked at my girlfriend. I'm like, yeah, I love that question because that's so crucial. Yeah. Business owners can spend thousands and thousands of dollars finding how to track traffic. Mm-hmm. Or they can just ask the customer, how'd you hear about us? Yeah. That is so important. Mm-hmm. So important. All right, six. By the way, we're on the list of how to capitalize on your industry. Six, excel in customer service. Once you gain that customer, like Chris said, it's not a customer isn't a customer anymore. A customer is 1,000 orders. So think of that customer as 1,000 orders, every single one that you meet. Mm-hmm. You got to excel in customer service. You got to follow up. You got to say, is your product working? You have to offer the refunds. You have to be there for them. And that's what people look for.
I'm a firm believer that you don't lock down a loyal customer until they have a problem and you service that problem. That's the differential. The way you handle their problem or their issue is the deciding factor whether or not you are going to acquire a loyal customer. It's 100% true, and that's a great point. Customer service, whether you're selling a product, could even be online. You need to have a good customer service for returns, issues with the packaging, issues with the product, whatever it may be, and especially service-based industries where the product that you provide is sort of more, it's up to judge whether or not someone actually got their money's worth, right? Depending on the level of service.
Right.
So customer service plays a huge part in that as well. But no, if you're taking notes right now, that is one thing to take notes, is to boost your brand value, to boost your competitive edge, is to have phenomenal customer service. And it all ties back to what I mentioned earlier, Joe, is that we live in a day and age where time and convenience is everything, where people don't want to be on hold for 20 minutes.
Right.
Right. People don't want to talk to someone that isn't well educated on the business and what they can and cannot do for them. Right. Well, you know, then it ends up they're having to talk to their supervisor. People don't want to have to deal with that.
Exactly.
Right. People want answers. They want yes and no's, and they want you to go above and beyond in order to lock down them as a loyal customer.
Right. I know we talked about in the last segment about being the low-cost provider, but I'm telling you right now, if you can capitalize on those six steps, you can charge any price you want.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that. I went to Somerset Mall 2 weeks ago. For those of you who haven't been to Somerset Mall, there's one side of the mall that has, like, you know, your Macy's and your Claire's and your American Eagles and stuff. Then there's the other side that has the Burberry and all the expensive stuff. Well, I need a new pair of dress shoes. So I went to Allen Edmonds, and I never had a pair. I heard cool stuff about them. I walk in there. First thing the guy does is hand me his business card. All of their customer service representatives have business cards. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And they go, well, have you ever been measured for our shoes before? Now, it took 30 minutes, but the guy was just talking to me, asking me about everything. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, your shoes are custom built. If you have any questions, call me at any time. You can return your orders, and you get your shoes remade 3 times for the life of the shoes.
I love that.
And I'm like, this is the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, you spent more for your shoe up front, but but the value that you get out of it over time, you get it replaced 3 times?
3 times.
Oh, I love that.
They redo the whole thing. And step 7 was repeat. Simply do exactly what we said. It's duplicatable. You can do it in any business, any industry. Guys, that may be one of the most, the foremost leading list if you want to dominate your industry and choke out your competition. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Young It Up, the Young Professionals Radio Program, 106.5, The Ticket.
Building a strong professional network is a key component to a young professional's success, and there is no better place to expand your professional network than at Third Street Cigar. Choose from their selection of hundreds of premium cigars and sit back and enjoy your smoke in their relaxing and spacious music-themed smoking lounge. Learn more at thirdstreetcigar.com. That's thirdstreetcigar.com. Or visit them at 20 North 3rd Street in Waterville, Ohio. Third Street Cigar, the Young Professionals Cigar Lounge.
In life, there's a lot to be thankful for. The things that matter most to you are worth keeping safe. MassMutual has a history of financial strength and stability with long-term interests of their customers in mind. MassMutual in Maumee, a MassMutual general agency, can prepare you for what's ahead in your financial future. They understand who's counting on you. To learn more, call 419-893-9759. That's 419-893-9759. Or visit them at 1760 Manley Road in Maumee. You see and hear all these ads about saving a ton of money.
At CR Adrian Dodge in Adrian, you can drive off with a brand new car for less than your cell phone bill. At CR Adrian Dodge, you can get a brand new Chrysler 300S or Dodge Ram for as little as $109 a month. Even a new four-door Jeep Wrangler for as low as $179 a month. Visit CR Adrian Dodge at 1211 East US 223 Adrian or call Tyler Tanzel at 517-266-5925. That's 517-266-5925.
And welcome back to Young Enough, the Young Professionals Radio Program. I'm your host, Joe Katich, alongside Chris Thomas. This is why I love this program. I look at my friend and business partner, Chris, and say, Chris, why is competition good for your business? He replies, because it puts hair on your chest. But really, here are the five reasons why competition is good for your business. First one, we talked about it, it's innovation. It requires innovation. If you're doing the exact same thing that all the other companies out there are doing, you know, society can't move forward. Think about Apple and Microsoft and Dell back in the 90s, back, you know, when times were different. But, you know, you had Apple saying, look, we can't be like them. We can't be like Dell or IBM or Microsoft. We got to make our own product.
Yeah.
So they did. Now they make the greatest machines in the world. A little biased, but I'm the only person that...
But you just recently switched your phone to an iPhone, so you have merit to say that.
Right. I can say that I enjoy these products better.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, customer service. Guys, if your company is just like all the other ones and you can't differentiate yourself, you can't make it in this world. Nobody's going to go to you and say, well, their prices are 50 cents more, so I'm going to go to the other guy.
Yeah.
No, if you can crush customer service, but it also, I think it comes down to this. It requires the companies to be held accountable for their actions. Where if you treat somebody like crap, they're not going to buy stuff from your store. You're looking at Chapter 11 next week. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think it kind of popped up in my mind. Big picture is competition is good because it allows new players to enter the market, right? Otherwise, if someone has already invented the smartphone, no one's going to enter that business, which is preventing jobs from being created. And it's preventing, like you said, the innovation factor, a better product actually being produced from it.
Right.
And think about it. If you had a monopoly of any business, what incentive do they have to treat their customers above and beyond?
Exactly.
If they're essentially guaranteed not to lose them. And here's the thing, if you don't have competition, you're going to have more of a monopolistic type of economy. The reason for that is you could enter when all's equal, if your product's the same as this product, but this company or your product is the same as this company's product, but that company's been in business for 30 years, doesn't matter if your product's equally of value. People through the law of association, they're used to buying their product from this company, and they've been happy with that. What's going to make them change except for a better product?
Right.
Right? And the only way that better product comes about is through competing and through innovation.
No, exactly. And think about the customer service. If the customer didn't care about customer service, then I guarantee you J.P. Morgan Chase could call up and fire all 2,000 of their call center employees.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's not important anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, of course it is. The reason people use J.P. Morgan Chase is because they have, you know, credit cards, banking, and they're there for you. If you lose a credit card somewhere, then you can call somebody and say, hey, close that down, and they'll refund you all the money that actually happened to me. It's a true story. The third one, you know, it removes complacency. We talked about it. Kodak. Kodak got comfortable. Kodak and Polaroid said, no, guys, we got this great thing where you take a picture and it prints it right out for you, and you only have to shake it for 4 minutes, and then it's right there for you. You can hang it up on the fridge with a
magnet.
Forget
the carpal tunnel. You got a hell of a picture there.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture. You know, I was looking at, there was a hardware store in Bowling Green. They had been open for about 100 years, and everybody was so shocked they went out of business. Really?
Yeah.
They didn't have power tools. It was the same. I mean, seriously,
they couldn't even pay with a credit card.
Exactly. No, that was
wait,
it.
Wait,
they were
really?
Cash only.
Stop.
I kid you not. And they were like a plumbing supply store, and they didn't understand why their customers didn't keep coming back.
And here's the thing, it's sad, man, because you see these businesses and the owners are, you know, I mean, you can't say this for everyone, but it always seems like they're just good people. They're just, you know, they want things to be the way things always were, right? They want to go back to they're the glory days type people. The reality is business doesn't care about that. Business doesn't care about how business was done 10 years ago. The market cares about how business is going to be done today and tomorrow. And if you're not thinking in that type of manner, right, I think we've said this on the show 10 times, but it's so important. One of the worst things you can ever say as a business owner is, well, this is the way we've always done it.
I love it, though. I mean, that's the funniest thing I've heard.
It's awful, though. I mean, yeah. I you can't blame people because, you know, we're young and we're tech savvy and we get things, right? But, Joe, who's to say, you know, 20 years from now, we're not in that same position where something new way beyond our head comes out and it's scary, it's new, it's different. You don't know how to do it. Right?
Right.
And it's challenging your business. It's challenging something that you've worked so hard for years and years and years. It's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
But it's necessary. It's a necessary evil if you want to stay in business and continue to compete. You constantly have to be thinking about how has my market changed since I first went into business? How do they interact with other people in my market today relative to how it used to be when I first started my business? How do they purchase products? What do they demand out of those products? How has the style or the way in which they demand products or their expectations of the service or the product value?
Yeah.
You know, compared to when I first started, you have to constantly be doing these things. People get scared. People are scared to look across the street, seeing what the price of their competitor gas station is charging. People are scared of competition. They'd rather sweep it under the rug and hope things go well. But that's just not – the reality is you have to swallow that pill.
No, exactly. And think about some of the Fortune 500 companies. Some of them are still there. But the ones that have been around for over 100 years, you have Ford Motor Company.
Mm-hmm.
They embrace competition. They started pumping out Model Ts, but I guarantee you if they didn't innovate, I guarantee you that if they stayed on that same course, they wouldn't be selling a couple million Model Ts every year because people don't want a crank car.
Mm-hmm.
Sears Ooh. Was one of the big – Sears and Kmart – two of the biggest colossal failures that we're going to see within the next 5 to 10 years. I know Sears just turned their business into a REIT, a real estate investment trust. Thinking they can
see McDonald's making a similar move, or MGM Grand just had an IPO on Wednesday.
No, exactly. But they didn't keep up with the times.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't carry the products that the customer required. They said, no, this is the way we've carried these products all the time.
You know what
I
like? Let's talk about a positive story. Let's say you do get outcompeted. What's the word? You just get beaten. And
you get outworked.
You get outworked or a competitor comes in and crushes you in your product or area. Look at a company like IBM. You know, they used to be hardware. They used to build desktops. Now they have one of the most innovative big data software out there, Watson. You know, so
I love Watson.
So you have to constantly be mining your entire space and be looking for new opportunities that you can differentiate, even if that means leaving an old product that you built the foundation of your business on because you got crushed. Because nothing is more expensive or probably more detrimental to your business than getting crushed and trying to beat a dead horse to get out of it. Right?
Right.
Unless you got something really good up your sleeve, it's going to be a hemorrhage.
It's push-pull. You don't want to push your product on the customer. You want to pull them in.
That's why Apple's so successful, man.
I know it.
They
do,
push.
Too.
They don't push.
They do, too. the fourth one, and I like this one, guys. This is a big one. Competition, it allows you to focus on your core market and your customers. This is so important. GE is going through this right now. GE tried General Electric. So they had, you know, their thing is making turbines, making energy. Well, they tried to get into GE Capital, which failed miserably. They tried to get into GE, another power source, and wind and all this stuff. Now they're just selling all this stuff off because they want to get down to their core competence.
You're seeing this more and more, spinoffs. Yeah.
Right, well, because they spread themselves too thin.
Mm-hmm.
In competition, it shuts you up from that very, very – think about Microsoft and the Microsoft Zune. I guarantee you, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not listening to it on a Microsoft Zune because they looked at that and said, We need to focus on our stuff. Now look at it. Microsoft's at an all-time stock high. The business is as big as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. They're making more money than they've ever done before because they got out of the markets that they didn't belong in and got down to their core strengths. Chris? Yeah.
No, I 100% agree. 100% agree. No comment.
No comment.
Well said.
And another reason, this is just, we made a list of five, but it allows for education, and this is important too. You know, if Apple comes out and says, yes, we're going to make a device, it's 10,000 songs in your pocket. Microsoft, oh, whoa, how'd they do that? You learn, okay? Ford just bought the first ever Tesla Model X. Why do you think they're doing it? They want to see what they just did. They want to reverse engineer it. Mm-hmm. And Ford wants to see if they can make an SUV that goes 250 miles on an electric charge.
And know what's cool is... Elon Musk is known for this. His patents are completely open. Anyone can use his technology. He has no guards or trademarks or anything on his technology. It's open source for any companies to use. And he was asked why on an interview. You know, if anything, the first thing you should do is try to lock down, have a strong patent, strong trademark, and protect your proprietary technology. And he goes, if you're on a boat and it's sinking and you have a design for a bucket, wouldn't it be wise to share that design with other people so that you guys can help all collectively get yourself out of the sinking ship?
Right, exactly.
You know, it's a genius. I think that was a very inspirational tidbit, but I saw that.
Yeah, and I also think he's got a little Steve Jobs in him where it's, okay, go ahead, try it. You won't succeed. I mean, I'm the best product inventor of this century.
Yeah, he's upset.
So... good luck.
He does have a lot of Steve Jobs.
He does.
He does.
He does. All right, we're going to take a break. Listen to Young Enough, the Young Professionals radio program, 106.5, The Ticket.
In life, there's a lot to be thankful for. The things that matter most to you are worth keeping safe. Mass Mutual has a history of financial strength and stability with long-term interests of their customers in mind. Mass Mutual in Maumee, a Mass Mutual general agency, can prepare you for what's ahead in your financial future. They understand who's counting on you. To learn more, call 419-893-9759. That's 419-893-9759. Or visit them at 1760 Manley Road in Maumee.
Building a strong professional network is a key component to a young professional's success, and there is no better place to expand your professional network than at Third Street Cigar. Choose from their selection of hundreds of premium cigars and sit back and enjoy your smoke in their relaxing and spacious music-themed smoking lounge. Learn more at thirdstreetcigar.com. That's thirdstreetcigar.com. Or visit them at 20 North 3rd Street in Waterville, Ohio. Third Street Cigar, the young professional's Cigar Lounge.
You see and hear all these ads about saving a ton of money. At CR Adrian Dodge and Adrian, you can drive off with a brand new car for less than your cell phone bill. At CR Adrian Dodge, you can get a brand new Chrysler 300S or Dodge Ram for as little as $109 a month. Even a new four-door Jeep Wrangler for as low as $179 a month. Visit CR Adrian Dodge at 1211 East US 223 Adrian or call Tyler Tanzel at 517-266-5925. That's 517-266-5925.
And welcome back to Young Enough, the Young Professionals radio program. I'm your host, Joe Katich, alongside Chris Thomas. We're getting down to the final second. Now, we just wanted to thank our tremendous sponsors. Of course, CR Adrian Dodge. Guys, I'm just looking at the deals here. The Ram 1500, the Bighorn, you get the Hemi with it. It's 4x4, $89 a month.
Okay, this is starting to get me mad. Guys, if you're listening, a Ram 1500, 2016. Okay. For $89 a month.
$89.
If you're not already on your way to Adrian to see Tyler Tanzel, you're crazy.
Seriously.
It's summer, too.
You know, my internet and my cable bill last month was $170.
Wow.
My electric bill was $160. I could be driving in a brand new Dodge Ram for half of that. Half of that. Are we kidding here? Guys, if you're a Jeep fan, all right, Jeep Cherokee, the Latitude, that's the nice one. $99 a month. If you want the Grand Cherokee, $179 a month. Guys, come on.
That's less than
my... It's C.R. Adrian Dodge. They are located on 1211 U.S. 223 in Adrian, Michigan.
But, Joe, it's a little far. Tyler Tanza will fill your gas tank just for coming up to meet him, and the deals are worth it.
Guys, it's just over the Michigan. It's just over the Ohio-Michigan line. They fill up your gas tank. Just tell them that Young and Up sent you. Special little incentive there. I'd like to thank Mass Mutual. These guys know money like nobody else, all right? Tom Gallagher is doing a fantastic job over there. You've heard the commercials run on the show. Give him a call. The first step in your financial savings should be done with the professional.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
100%.
And finally, Third Street Cigar. Guys, we hold our Young Professional Nights there the second and fourth Thursday of every single month. We have Bruce Rumpf, the owner of the largest temp agency in the Midwest. He's going to be talking about where he sees job creation happening in the very near future. That starts at 7 o'clock at Third Street Cigar. It's 20 North 3rd Street in Waterville, Ohio. Yeah. Chris, where can they find the information?
I have no idea, Joe. Kidding. Guys, you can find us on www.youngandup.co. That's C-O, and the and is spelled out A-N-D because Joe and I aren't lazy. You can find us on Facebook at Young and Up. You can find us on Snapchat, Young and Up. You can also find us on Instagram, Young and Up. Guys, we are posting content to all these platforms. And last but not least, we are on Twitter now, Young and Up Media. We threw you a curveball with the Twitter handle. So use Young and Up, again, A-N-D, and then add the media at the end, and you'll find us on Twitter if you do that.
There you have it. Guys, we thank you so much for listening to the program. If you want us to discuss some show topics, shoot us an email. It's youngandup@gmail.com, all spelled out, youngandup@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to Young Enough, the Young Professionals radio program, 106.5, The Ticket.